Welcome to Honey, I'm Homeschooling the Kids, a podcast that steps into alternative education, parenting, and living a funner, fuller family life. I'm Robin, home educator, unschooling mom to two funny, eclectic kids, and we're here to create a space for families to listen, connect, learn from others, and be inspired. Join us every 2 weeks to hear interviews and tips from experts in learning, education, and parenting, and stories from families that are playing full out in the arena of life and education. World schooling, unschooling, alternative schooling, homeschooling, or just creating a whole new style of learning.
Hello, welcome back to My Mommy's Podcast. And today, right now, we're going to be doing Read the Reviews. We are going to do something, and we're going to do Read the Comment, and it is called Great Resource. I love the information provided, and it helps to keep us inspired as a homeschool family. We are in a remote area without others doing what we do, but this podcast gives me opportunity to learn and connect to others. And that was by Mountain Learning, who gave us 5 stars. Well, thank you very much, Mountain Learning. It is greatly appreciated. But let's move on to the intro. So, Mommy, who did you interview in this episode?
I interviewed Abby Chow in this episode.
And why did you interview her?
Abby Chow is a co-founder and CEO of College Packer, which is an online service that helps families, kids, parents to pay for college. And it's a simple and social tool. This is a resource episode. This is an episode that I thought would maybe help parents who are looking for that path or kids who are looking to pursue the college path, the university path. Even though her company is based in the United States, it can still, there's tools and tips that she gives us applicable for any country, really, that has to pay for the university or for the post-secondary. But here's a stat that got me really interested in this. 50% of college students don't graduate in 6 years. So within the 6 years, they don't complete their degrees or what they are studying for. That still means that even though they didn't graduate, they still have that huge debt load to pay for that they've already completed partway through in college or university. And the biggest part of not completing that 50% stat of college students not completing is financial. That's a huge concern. And I thought Abby would be an interesting avenue, an interesting person to speak about this. And I think it's also a very timely subject with the recent college admission scandals in the United States. So again, I'd love to hear feedback on the episode as well. And let me know if it was any benefit to you.
And don't forget to contact my mom if you have any questions about the podcast. And please leave a review. Oh, wait, my mom wants to talk again. Okay, never mind. You said leave it to me.
Sorry. And I just forgot that Abby actually has a gift for the listeners. If anyone is interested in looking more into College Backer, she actually has a $10 match if you're savings to the podcast. So if you go to collegebacker.com/honeyimhomeschooling, you can get that offering, that discount, and that special gift that she's offering to Honey, I'm Homeschooling the Kids listeners. Okay, now you can take it away, Zara.
Okay. Enjoy the episode.
So today I have Abby Chow joining me. Thank you very much, Abby, for coming on the show.
Robin, thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast today.
Abby Chow is co-founder and COO of College Backer, an online service that makes saving for college simple, smart, and social. As a founder of College Backer, Abby has helped thousands of families save and pay for college. Her modern tech-forward approach helps a new generation of millennial parents use the right financial and social tools to save for college better together. Thank you very much. I know this is a homeschooling podcast, so you know it's an interesting take, but I'm happy to have you on the show because many homeschoolers do go on to college, university, or post-secondary, and they do very, very well when they do. So I find that this is actually very applicable for families at homeschool, that unschool, or just looking into alternative education because those options are still open. So thank you very much for joining me today.
I'm delighted to be on today. Thank you.
So can you tell me a little bit about yourself? I know before we started, you said you are currently recording from New York. Are you originally from New York or are you from out west?
No, so I'm actually from the Chicago suburbs. I grew up there for all of my life up until college. And yeah, that was my childhood, just a Midwest suburban girl, actually.
Nice. Okay. Okay. And I know you're back and forth. You're based in San Francisco, though. That's where your head office currently is for College Backer.
That's right.
Okay. So before we start into how College Backer works and what it exactly is, and before we talk more about College Backer, I thought that maybe we could get a little bit of background. And I was saying that when I was researching a little bit, I found out that before you started College Backer, a few years ago, you worked actually as a social sector fellow with McKinsey & Company. And part of this, you were in touch with K-12 education and school districts. Is that correct?
That's right. And so just to unwind a little bit of my backstory, which I think all sort eventually leads to College Backer. When I was a young child, I actually became interested in personal finance from a really young age. So as a teenager, I even opened a Roth IRA, which is a tax advantaged tool for retirement, even though I barely had any income at that time. And so that led me to become really interested in business. In college, I chose to study business, and then that eventually manifested in working in finance early on, and then for McKinsey & Company, which is a global consulting firm. And I had a really unique opportunity at McKinsey, as you already mentioned, to be a social sector fellow. And that was because education played such a huge role in my life that I was interested in learning more about how, you know, education could be used to empower other people as well. And I think my education, I was actually totally a product of the public education system, but even so, it was a really unique experience within public education. So for example, in high school, I went to a public boarding school that was dedicated to math and science. And so it was structured very differently. We even had one day a week every Wednesday that was reserved as what they called inquiry days, and days that you could pursue your own research or, you know, sort of do your own thing. So very, very different from a lot of the public education that is available for most people who are just going to a neighborhood school. So I was extremely lucky to have that experience. And when I went to McKinsey and I was working as a social sector fellow, that was my big opportunity to understand public education across the country. And I realized in that experience how unique my educational experience had been. And I also realized that, you know, there are many high schools across the country that don't have access to AP classes or other advanced classes. Whereas in my experience, you know, I was doing research on my own in high school, so totally different. And similarly, in a lot of school systems across the country, they're unable to prepare students that to graduate college at a high rate. So 50% of college students today actually don't graduate within 6 years. Whereas in my experience, the thought of not graduating from college once I started never really crossed my mind. And so just that experience of seeing the disparity between what so many people experience in education versus what my own fortunate situation was really an eye-opening thing. And I also realized that financing was a huge part of it. You know, a lot of brilliant students ultimately don't go to the college of their dreams or the college that they're capable of because they can't pay for it. Or maybe they also often drop out because, you know, they've got to work to support their families. And so that was what really inspired me to look into this question of how are we financing our education and what does education or what should education look like?
Absolutely. Okay. That's fantastic. So actually, I just want to back up a little bit. First, I want to back up to the school that you attended, the boarding school. Was it a charter school?
No. So it was sort of a magnet high school that was funded at the state level. It was called the Illinois Math and Science Academy since I was living in Illinois. And it was just funded through state dollars, and they pulled from all across the state. So It was a cross-section of urban and rural and suburban and, you know, all different races and socioeconomic statuses. And that was, you know, the one thing that we had in common was that we were all math and science nerds.
Awesome. I think that's probably also what added to the environment, I would think, as well, because of that focus and all the math and science nerds that love it.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. It was a great experience.
So is that school still in existence?
It is, yeah. So it's just out in Aurora. It's one of the Chicago suburbs, probably 40 minutes from the city. And they're still still educating those 14, 15, 16-year-old math and science nerds.
Wow, that's fantastic. I'm actually going to check that out as well and see if I can find out more about that. So yeah, that definitely gave you a unique opportunity. And I know the importance of, and this is what a lot of parents talk about as well, when they are looking for an alternative in education to what many currently use or choose, is the fact that allowing their kids the opportunity to be immersed in an environment where they are stimulated and where they're immersed in something that they love and can focus on. So the great thing, the cool thing about this school as well that you attended is that it really seems that it allowed that, especially having the inquiry days as well, the inquiry process mixed into all of that too, which is a great background.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, only in retrospect, I think that I realized how fortunate I was, but it was a great system where there was a lot of, you know, project-based learning or collaborative learning where students were working together in teams. And, you know, the math teacher might give you a problem set, but you've got to kind of figure out your own way through it. And maybe your peers are helping you along the way and you're asking them for help rather than looking to the teacher for the answer every time.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Which is what, yeah, actually, that's what I love about math. And sometimes it seems like we can't always, it's not always done, learnt, and taught that way. But I think there's so many interesting ways to approach math and develop it as fully a immersive project in that way. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So I want to, I'm just nerding out here too. So, So then moving forward, there was a stat that you mentioned that I also wanted to repeat. You said 50% of college students don't graduate in 6 years.
Yeah, it is a very startling statistic. I think, especially for me, when I was going through college, like I said, it never occurred to me to not graduate. But I think the thing that's for even more striking beyond that statistic is the reasons that people don't graduate. And most of the time, it's not because it is, you know, too academically rigorous or anything like that, but it's often because there are some kind of financial barriers. So for example, you know, if you're a student who has to work to support themselves or support their family, then of course, it's much more difficult to get through a course load if you also have a full-time job than it is if your course load is your full-time job, right? And so I think that was part of what made College Backer so meaningful to me, because, you know, it could be a way to make it easier for students to make their way through college by knowing that there's a little bit of savings that they can rest on.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, that's a huge stat, and that's actually why I wanted to bring that back to. I hadn't heard I'd heard similar numbers before, but it actually was it's a very important one, especially a very important one for this episode today. So then, moving into College Backer, I think this is a great segue into that. Let's talk a little bit more about that, and I really understand now the background and impetus for starting College Backer and having a resource like this for families and for parents. So what exactly is College Backer?
Yeah, so College Backer is the easiest way to start saving for college with help from family and friends. So we actually wind the clock back and allow often young parents to help start saving for their kids very early in life. So regardless of what age you are, whether or what age your child is, whether your child is just born or even expecting, all the way up until high school, College Backer is a way to save for college easily with help from family and friends. Specifically, the way that we do that is first, we help you find the best financial tools in order to save for college. Specifically, we recommend a 529 plan, and we can talk a little bit more about that. And then secondly, we give you the tools to rally your friends and family around that. So think about birthday parties, holidays like Christmas, baby showers. You can turn all of those events into opportunities to save more for college. And basically, you know, instead of the toys and clothes that you're probably inundated with, translate that into college savings that's ultimately going to grow over time in that 529.
So let's start then with helping us find the best financial tools. Can we break that down? And you recommended the 529 fund. So if I'm a parent who's going to College Backer, because I, you know, say I have, okay, my kids are almost 13 and 10. What do I do? What's the first step? How do you help me find those?
Yeah, so oftentimes when we talk to families about saving for college, what we hear is that parents are saying, yeah, you know, I want to save for college, but I started to do some research and then I was instantly overwhelmed because there are all these different options out there. It can be incredibly confusing and technical and intimidating at times to try to figure out the right way to save for college. So oftentimes people either just put their money into a savings account or they don't save at all. And both of those are not the best outcome. In the US, there is this phenomenal tool that is called a 529 college savings plan. And basically, it's like a retirement account for college. So you put in your post-tax money, and then the investments grow tax-free over time, and withdrawals are completely tax-free as well. So what that means for you is that once you put money in, your money is actually growing, as opposed to just, you know, sitting stagnant in a savings account. And it can actually, you know, keep up with or perhaps even exceed the rising cost of college so that you continue to make progress with your savings goal. So we make it really, really easy to get into a 529 plan and choose the right investment portfolio for you. So we're an SEC registered investment advisor. We'll basically make a recommendation that is based on your child's age so that we're managing risk appropriately. But the great thing for you as a parent is you no longer have to go through all of the nitty gritty details to do all the research learn a bunch of financial terms and be able to choose the right portfolio. You can entrust us with that. We're a fiduciary, so we'll, you know, make a choice on your behalf. And then you can focus on the more human element of just, you know, setting aside the money that you can afford, and then also rallying those gifts from friends and family. And hopefully we're making the entire experience a lot simpler, easier, and even more fun. We think that college savings should be an inspiring and energizing process, not this scary, stressful, and lonely process that it normally is.
Right. Another huge burden. Okay. So then depending on the portfolio that a person would have, that would the rate of return or the interest gained on your investment would vary then?
That's right. So our investment strategy is basically when your child is very young, we'll recommend a more aggressive portfolio so that your investments will grow over time. When your child is a bit older, like say they're in high school or approaching college age, then the investment recommendation would be more conservative so that we know the money will be there when you need to draw it out for college.
So once you get to college age, say my kids decided to go to college, not right away, but say they worked for 3 years and then they decided to go to college, would it still work?
Yes. So one of the great things about the 529 is that it's actually a lot more flexible than you might think. So on that point specifically, there are no time limits or age limits on the 529 plan. And even better, you as the parent maintain control over time. So you may have heard of some other vehicles like trusts where the child automatically gets control of the account, say at age 18 or 21 or whatever. With a 529, you as the parent maintain control, and whenever your child decides to pursue higher education, you can, you know, transfer the funds for that purpose. And then specifically for this audience, I should say that 529s recently, as of 2017, actually can be used for K-12 tuition as well. So depending on what your, you know, educational goals are or what your child's path is, there's quite a lot of flexibility in there for you.
Okay, so do you mean, say I decided I want to send my child to a private school?
Exactly.
I could use that money towards that tuition?
Exactly right. The one caution that I would say is state by state, the rules vary on this a little bit. So it is something that would require a little bit more research for you. And you should also invest the money accordingly. So if you're sending your child to a private elementary school, the investment portfolio to fund that should not be as aggressive as it might be if you thought the money was going to stay there for 10 years. But that is an exciting new option for you that that could be really helpful.
So then you have the 529. Obviously, the earlier the better, I would assume, right? Because you have that much more time to build your portfolio, build your on your investment.
That's absolutely right. So with College Backer, we actually see that a big chunk of our families start saving even before the child is born. So when they're an expecting family, you know, they're using it at a baby shower or something like that. And we're able to support that at College Backer. There's a checkbox in there where you can choose to save for a future baby. But I would also say that it's never too late, right? So as your kids get older, there are actually potentially more opportunities to start saving for college too. So say if your kid has a babysitting job or something like that, that might be a great opportunity to teach them some of the basics of personal finance and encourage them to save a portion of that too.
Okay, absolutely. So then saying that, so say I have a set amount that I'm putting in every month in my 529, and then my child wants to add to that, supplement it through some other income that they're receiving, so they can add into that account as well on top of what's already set to go in monthly?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So basically anybody can contribute to your 529, including the beneficiary, but certainly aunts and uncles and friends and things like that as well.
Okay, so saying that then, let's move into the unique ways. I find this is great. And this is what I really like about College Backer that's unique, because we were also talking before. This is based in the U.S. 529 is for the United States. So as you know, I'm in Canada. Many listeners are in many other places in the world. So we don't have access to the 529. But I know, and this obviously depends where you're from, and I'm sure other countries do. Canada does have an education savings plan, and there are a few different ones. But what it doesn't have is the social access, the way that College Backer encourages and gives you tools to use your network for savings. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about this and how, because you're talking about birthday parties or baby showers. What do you mean by that? And how does that work?
Yeah. So our families actually find that these events, these milestone events or gift giving events, are fantastic opportunities to get started saving for college or to amplify their college savings. So we have families that are throwing birthday parties and then including College Backer on their birthday invitation, for example, and raising hundreds of dollars. Because imagine just a handful of people putting in $50 or $100 or something like that. And as that accumulates over time, you've got, you know, half a dozen people giving $50 this year, half a dozen people giving $50 next year. That really, really grows to be a meaningful amount over time. And we've seen people do it in different ways, right? Because obviously it can feel a little bit awkward sometimes to ask other folks for money, but there are usually some good ways to have gentler language around it. So we'll see people say things like, no gifts required, but if you are looking, you know, if you feel inspired to give, we just set up the College Backer account. Or if you're looking for gift ideas, we just set up this college fund for so-and-so. So those are kind of ways to put it out there without feeling too aggressive. And we've also found actually that on both sides, both the gift giver and the recipient, they would often rather give the gift of college savings than, say, go to the toy store and have to pick something off the shelf. So in many cases, people are excited about being part of your kid's college journey, and they would rather do that and give that more meaningful gift, but you just are giving them the opportunity to do that.
Right. Oh, that's a fantastic idea. Because, you know, I think you probably hear as well, I think we were in such a state of buying and gaining and building that I think a lot of people now are trying to scale back and be more minimalistic in their living and in their excess of things as well. So I know it gets hard when you have kids and there's a birthday party and, you know, you at the end of the day after the party or some other celebration like that, you kind of have this whole pile of toys or other things that sometimes you're, you know, you think, oh, well, it may get used for that day, but then it's never used again. And it takes up a big space in your corner in your living room or whatever. But that's a great idea because, you know, that's also the other thing, gift giving. You sometimes don't know if it's going to be useful, if it's going to be, you know, wanted and used. And something like this absolutely is.
Absolutely. And in fact, we've even seen some groups of families where college backer sort of becomes the norm of the gift, right? So at birthday parties, parents have gotten used to just giving a gift of college backer so that it's going directly into the college fund. And so certainly, you know, there will be oftentimes some grandparents that just can't get over, you know, giving a physical gift and seeing the joy of the kid, you know, being able to unwrap it. And that will always be there. But certainly many people are finding college backer as a way to give a more meaningful gift or in supplement, you know, in addition to that physical gift so that you can kind of have both.
Right. Okay. So I do have one question as well. What happens if you're going through college backer, you have your savings account, and what if your child, you know, as far as you know, say it's like 15 years later, says, I'm not attending post-secondary, I'm not attending university or college. What happens then to the account?
Yeah, so it's a great question and we get it all the time. The first thing that I would say is, you can actually change the beneficiary to another member of the family. So say the first kid decides, you know, college is not for me, I'm going to pursue a different path. If there's a second child, you can transfer the funds to the second child and then there's no problems with that. You can also transfer it to a cousin, even back to yourself if you want to pursue additional education. And so that is often the best option because then you'll still be able to use all the benefits of the 529 plan. If ultimately, you know, your family decides that that child is never going to go to college, nobody else in the family is interested in using the funds for higher education either, you can withdraw the money. The gains on the account will have a 10% penalty and taxes, but the original principal that you've put in does not have any additional taxes or penalties. So that's always yours.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know. That's really, really good to know. And that's great. I didn't even think about that if none of the children intend on pursuing post-secondary, the parent can use it for themselves for furthering their education. So I think that's a really interesting point. So then, as you withdraw it, because I just want to get through some of the, I think as a parent, you know, the questions that I would have if I'm looking into this as well. So say my child is going into university and they have a 4-year degree plan. So would it work that you withdraw all of it for the first year? You can say, I'm going to use half of it for the first year and the other half for the second year, or can you divide it up over the 4 years?
Yeah, so you can actually phase it out however you'd like over the course of those 4 years. Most often, we do see people who are kind of using it in different chunks throughout the 4 years. But the other thing that I would say, too, that oftentimes people forget about is you can continue to save throughout the 4 years as well. So while you're withdrawing some money to pay for tuition, you can still be contributing money. And especially if you have other friends and family members that are contributing as well, those folks can continue giving into the college fund throughout those 4 years too. So if you have a grandparent who, you know, is putting in $50 a month, perhaps, there's no reason to fully withdraw the funds and then tell grandma like, oh yeah, you know, we're done saving for college until, you know, college is actually over.
Right. Okay. That's fantastic to know. Okay. Oh, so then actually thinking about that then as well, you can still continue if you haven't used all of the portion for those 4 years, for example, and they say, well, you know, I'm looking to maybe, you know, work for a few years and then continue to further my education. If you still have some left, then therefore you can still continue putting in towards that and using it for furthering for other continuing education.
That's absolutely right. So another category in which 529s are often more flexible than people think. Of course, you can use a 529 for your four-year traditional undergraduate degree, but you can also use it for graduate school. You can also use it for community college, many trade schools. So anything that qualifies for U.S. federal financial student aid is something that you can use that 529 savings for. In fact, there are even quite a few international schools that meet that qualification. So again, as long as it qualifies for U.S. federal financial student aid, you can use your 529 funds there.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so it actually has a lot of flexibility. All right. Okay, so that is very good. Obviously, you know, I had to ask you this question in the very beginning before we started recording, and because I was dying to know, and I'm sure other listeners that are wanting to know, this is such a great platform. Are you looking to go international at all? Are there any plans or maybe hopes for the future to expand this into other countries?
Yeah.
So everyone can share in this.
Yes.
It's a good thing, right?
Absolutely. So we would love to be moving internationally at some point in the future. Unfortunately, today we are quite U.S. focused with the 529 being a specifically U.S. Financial vehicle. But absolutely, when we look around the world, while the 529 may be U.S. specific, this pattern of people rallying around a child and building a community around a child and that child's education, that we find to be totally universal. So we would love to eventually, you know, be moving into different countries and helping people find the right financial tools. So in Canada, for example, you already mentioned there is an educational savings plan that is quite similar and could be a fantastic tool for, you know, us to help Canadians to use. But even globally, in places where there might not be that specific vehicle, we see a big opportunity to just help folks rally around a child and you know, gather savings for whatever educational pursuits they might be interested in.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's so much potential. I mean, that even makes me think of like Kiva microloans, and helping support education for others in places of need as well too, where education is a huge vehicle for opportunity, but so many don't have access to, and sometimes it's just a small amount, even every month, just basically to go to primary school or to you know, throughout your basic schooling, yeah, for that too.
So. Absolutely. I think even in the US, there's a statistic where kids with a college fund, even if it's less than $500, are three times more likely to start college and four times more likely to finish. And when I think about my own, yeah, it's a crazy impact that it just goes to show how much, one, the belief matters. So, you know, when a child knows that the people around them believe in them enough to set aside money for college, that really creates expectations, in my opinion. And then beyond that, oftentimes, even when kids are in college, it's not that anybody is, I mean, certainly people are surprised by the weighty tuition bill often, but it's also, you know, the miscellaneous lab fees, or I didn't realize that books were so expensive and things like that, that can really tip the scales. And so having a little bit of that cushion can really make a difference.
Yes. Okay. Wow. That's a huge stat. Even $500.
Yeah. It's wild.
Multiplies the effect, the chance. That is wild. Actually, when you think about that, that is really wild. Okay. And then it also refers back to when you're saying how, you know, 50% of college students don't complete their college within, you know, 6 years, and that the big barrier is finance. And that's so much of it. I think, yeah, exactly what you said would be that mental, that personal barrier as well. Just that huge hurdle of, okay, this huge dollar amount. Because also, you know, when you were mentioning that the financial barrier is the biggest part of that, that some are working and have families while they're going to school. And then if you don't complete it, you still have that debt
exactly
that you have to pay back. So you haven't completed it, but then you still have that large amount that you're paying back. It's pretty big, definitely. It's a pretty big burden to carry on your shoulders for a long time.
Absolutely. And I think another reason that we were so inspired to create College Backer is just that if you are saving in advance, it makes it that much easier, right? Because now you have the magic of time and compounding working on your side, because you put in a little bit of money, it grows over time. And by the time you get to college, you actually have more money than when you started with, and you can use that to pay for college. Whereas with debt, it's the opposite, right? You take out the debt, and then, you know, 5 years later, you've been making debt payments, and you look at it and you're like, oh my God, I still have so much debt, because that has been growing over time. So being able to think ahead and start saving early is just so meaningful.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. So then, you know, is there an area where you see College Backer being most impactful? I mean, of course, all families saving for college, but is there a specific area where you see or hope for it to be most impactful?
Yeah, so I think today we've really found that College Backer resonates with this generation of millennial parents, right? We're the generation where we've had our own student debt. We know how painful that is. We want to make sure that we're saving our kids from the same thing. And so we have been thinking ahead a lot more than prior generations about how we can get our family started or get our child started along the right path. But beyond that, my vision for College Backer would be to allow every family in America, and hopefully, you know, one day the world, to have a savings account for their child's education, whether that's a 529 or something else. Because I think that today, oftentimes it is, you know, the more educated or more affluent families that have the savvy to be using these financial tools. But really, they're the most meaningful for just the ordinary, you know, middle-class families that are trying to make it work, that are using education as their means to, you know, improve their situations, improve their lives. And that's where I think a solution like College Backer is just so incredibly meaningful.
Yeah, that is an absolutely meaningful vision and impact. And I agree. I think for many families that are more affluent, something like this is, this is accessible to everyone, but I think sometimes it's what you understand to be accessible to you as well. And that makes a difference, is that it's as well an easy platform so that more can use it and have access to it in that way and benefit from it. So I think it's a great thing.
Absolutely. We're just trying to make all of this easy and approachable and fun for the family that isn't necessarily, you know, filled with financial experts. You know, so even if you weren't like me and you weren't a big personal finance nerd when you were 14 years old, you too should be saving for college in the smartest way possible. And that's, you know, that's what we're trying to make possible and achievable.
So then, turning it back to you. I love that you had created your retirement savings plan and your savings account when you were young. Was that just you? Did your parents encourage that? Did they create an environment where they allowed a lot, you know, they helped to support a lot of financial independence? How did that work out for you?
Yeah.
Tell me more about yourself in that way, because that's a great thing, obviously, that's carried through throughout your life. So,
so speaking of math, it was actually my seventh grade math teacher one day just, you know, walked into class and said, hey, you know, everybody, by the way, should read this book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And as a young kid, I just loved reading. So when I got a book recommendation, I just read it. And so I read this book that my math teacher recommended, and it just opened my eyes to business, essentially, and how investing can make sense. And after that, I was just on a tear. You know, I just read everything that I could find on the topic. And my parents, they weren't deep financial experts, but they certainly were encouraging of me to just continue to explore and learn, you know, whatever it is that I was curious about. And so that's how I eventually found out about retirement accounts and all of this other stuff, probably a lot earlier than I needed to. but nevertheless, it's been helpful, you know, in my life.
Yeah, it absolutely have. And look at what it's helped to create now. I think that's remarkable. And that's pretty, you know, and also helping to encourage you to be in that school environment that you went to as well, to that math and science academy as well, that it's just another way to help facilitate that and to encourage that interest that you already had. So, you know, you had that spark and it's keeping that fire lit as well. And you're doing wonderful things with it. So I love that story. It's I know it's true. I mean, I think it's true. So I think it's actually fantastic.
Thank you.
So, and for your parents as well, did they really encourage you to go on to college or post-secondary, or was that really just something that you felt would work as well and that you wanted to do?
Yeah. So in my family, education was such a critical part of even my parents coming to this country. So my parents are Chinese immigrants. The reason that they were able to come to the U.S. was through pursuing higher education. And so just as one of our, I suppose, family values, education and continuing to, you know, pursue education was so important to us that for me, it was just kind of a foregone conclusion that I would go to college. But I think that for me, it was a tremendous experience because it was just so eye-opening to, you know, meet people from all different backgrounds and get exposure to so many more, you know, interesting ideas and things like that.
You're going to college or going to the Math and Science Academy?
Both, actually. So when I went to the Math and Science Academy, certainly that was a phenomenal experience for me to continue to, you know, learn about those topics. But when I went to college, that was my first I studied business as an undergraduate. And so that was my first opportunity to kind of put that passion front and center. And actually, I remember sitting in my first accounting class when I was a freshman. And of course, accounting is not the most popular topic. but when I was there, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so fortunate to be able to be learning something that is kind of an enabler of this thing that I'm so excited about, which is learning about business and how finance kind of interacts with the world.
Right. That's a great way to look at it. Yeah. I'm a business major as well, international business.
So right on.
I know for some, it seemed like, yeah, accounting. I enjoyed my accounting classes. I don't think everybody did, but yeah. I also had a great teacher, especially for my first accounting class.
I did too.
Actually, the first time. Yeah. That makes a difference, I
Absolutely.
Think.
Absolutely.
It makes a big Absolutely. Difference. Yeah. And that my first accounting class I actually took in high school.
Oh, wow.
And it was just one of those things I thought I'd try. And it was actually presented quite simply. So it didn't seem as daunting when I took it in post-secondary as well because of that introduction. So, I mean, but now, especially with everything that we have access to online, I think the earlier if kids can get into something like that, even through different classes, you know, try it at least to see and find a simple one to be introduced to that because it's basic concepts that help you always through the rest of your life as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. And the simple, you know, underlying concepts are the things that you can carry with you most easily, right? I'm sure you and I have both forgotten some of the nuances of accounting rules, but you know, the fundamental mm-hmm. concepts stick with you.
Yeah, that's right. They do. So then I thought as well, you know, this is something that I had asked you earlier, and I thought, you know, maybe if you could share a little bit about ways, because College Backer is currently U.S.-based, the 529 is U.S.-based, and for those of us that are outside of the United States, if we could share a few ways, tips for us in specifically how we can use different platforms and networks to get funding for post-secondary for our kids, because this is something College Backer offers, but we could also just incorporate it on our own as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first thing would be to see if you have local options that are similar to a 529. So in Canada, for example, I know that there is something similar, and learn about those options, because oftentimes that can be such a huge boon for you and just really accelerate whatever efforts you're putting into it. As a second point, even if your local government doesn't provide that option to you, I would invest the money if you can, right? Because the cost of college, the cost of education is continuing to grow. In the U.S., it's growing at quite an accelerated pace, hopefully. Where you are, it's not as expensive. But by investing the money, you'll be able to, again, just accelerate your own efforts, and it won't require as much work on your part. But then lastly, and most importantly, I would just remember that people do want to be a part of your child's journey. And so you're actually giving them an amazing opportunity when you share, like, hey, you know, we've started so-and-so's college fund, and here's how you can make a contribution. And without College Backer, that might look like, oh, you know, writing a check or just doing a money transfer or something like that. So it might be a little bit less elegant without College Backer. But remembering that people actually want to contribute, that many people would actually prefer to give into a college fund than to go buy a gift, is a great way to just shift your mindset about it and feel more comfortable, you know, going out with the college fund as opposed to just waiting for folks to give you a bunch of toys and clothes that, frankly, you might not really want.
Right. Take up that extra space that you're paying
exactly,
for.
Exactly. Exactly.
And there's even other access like PayPal, an accessible payment ways, e-transfer that has so many ways that are so much easier as well in that too. So those are great tips. Thank you very, very much. That I think are useful no matter across the board, wherever you live. So that is something that I think that many can do and even incorporate. So I would also like you, if you could let us know how our listeners, if they want to find out more information about College Backer and more ways to even get in touch with you or College Backer, could you provide us with those? How can we find out more?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we'd like to kick things off with a gift to any listeners. if you're ready to get started with your college fund, we'd like to offer you a $10 match to get started. So just go to collegebacker.com/honey I'm homeschooling. And when you set up a college fund and put $10 into the account, we'll immediately double that by putting another $10 into your college fund. And we'll make College Backer the first members of your team, your funding team. But again, that's collegebacker.com/honey I'm homeschooling. And when you set it up with a $10 contribution, we'll double it with another $10 and get you started on your college savings journey.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And that's for all of our listeners. We really appreciate that.
Of course. Hopefully it's just the boost that you need.
Yes. collegebacker.com/honey I'm homeschooling. And what I'll do is I'll also include that in the show notes, all those Super. Links. I'll include that link in the show notes. And I'll also include, some of the references that you gave, Rich Dad, Poor mm-hmm. Dad, which is, I think, is a great book to read. I read it years ago and it's actually come up a few times for me. So I think maybe it's time to look for that book again here and bring it out and give it another reader. Actually pass it on to my kid.
Yeah. To be honest, I said, I read it in seventh grade and then I didn't pick it up again until last year because I was telling somebody, why did I get on this path? It was because of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I went back and read it and I was like, wow, I actually remember a surprising amount because the way that he describes these concepts are, like we were saying, just like quite simple so that even, a seventh mm-hmm. grader can understand it, take it in, and remember it and, apply it, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, it is. Because I remember he uses a lot of just personal narrative and story to explain the examples, which makes it so real, and simple, and it keeps your interest exactly. as well.
God knows I don't really remember the other investing books that I read as a teenager. Yeah. But that one I remember.
Okay, I will reference that as well. And I think I'll put a link to the Illinois Math and Science Academy too, if anybody wants to check
if any of the listeners live in Illinois, that's a great option.
Yes, absolutely. And we know Abby's was very happy with
that. Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today and to talk about College Backer and your wonderful vision as well for that and how you're helping families to better be equipped for post-secondary for college and university.
Yeah, this was delightful. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Thanks, Abby. And I will put everything in the show notes. Listeners, take advantage of the gift that is being offered, and I will have the link for that in the show notes as well. Thanks for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please share, leave a review or comment. I'd love to hear your thoughts, ideas, and reflections on the episode. You can go to the website, imhomeschooling.com, or email me directly, robin@imhomeschooling.com.